The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
All right. First of all, what's the name of the movement again, sir?
The First Wave Movement.
The First Wave Movement. Tell me a little bit about the First Wave Movement, sir, first of all.
Well, the First Wave Movement is an activist group that has come together since the inception of COVID. And we would have attempted to address the issues regarding COVID and injections, lockdowns, and so on. And coming out of that, we would have found ourselves in a situation where a lot of people have been calling us and, expressing certain, issues that they were having with regards to a number of things that were taking place in the country.
Okay.
And one of the things that caught our attention was the infiltration of the LGBTQ agenda within Trinidad and Tobago.
Mm-hmm.
And, looking very closely at what was happening in that scenario, in that area.
So exactly what are some of the things that you're seeing? I know they just have their march and stuff,
apart from the marches, I mean, those are just frivolous things in our view. You understand? There are more important issues, like, for instance, those international arrangements and agreements that were signed by the Trinidad and Tobago government, the then UNC government, who had signed the Montevideo Consensus Agreement, which was an agreement, specifically pushing the LGBTQ agenda within the school system and institutions in Trinidad and Tobago. There was a reporting system set up by the Montevideo Consensus Group, and they were reporting on every country that would have signed off on this particular agreement. And very interesting, on the issue of implementing the comprehensive sexuality education within the schools, it was 100% the policy framework, right? So they were monitoring the policy framework being set up by every country with regards to the comprehensive sexuality education, which is basically, pushing the LGBTQ agenda within the school system. And Trinidad and Tobago had 100% policy framework in place.
So when they say they're pushing the agenda, they're pushing it's okay to have two mommies, two daddies?
Yeah, all of that. And, transgender and, all these different situations.
But you want to be identified as and all that. Where the world going now?
All of that.
Right. By the way, if you had all just joined us, I'm talking to Mr. Omar Abdullah, right? Founder and leader of the First Wave Movement. Right? So you're totally against. Now, the government, you're saying the government here is supporting this. And, it's kind of funny. A lot of people support the government, but they don't necessarily support all this LGBTQ and gay and rights and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
So, you're quite right. But we're in a very strange place. And that is a lot of people in Trinidad and Tobago are not aware or fully aware of what exactly is taking place behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these agreements are signed, in the dead of the night.
Right.
There isn't much reporting on it. If there's any such reporting in the news, it will completely be flooded by other issues, in a very short space of time. This particular issue, the signing of the Samora Agreement. There was one article in the news that actually spoke about it, and it was actually brought to my attention and by one of our members, and when I looked at it, I said, no, we have to look at this. And then I issued a press release on that, and then the issue with the government coming and they say, no, well, they rubbish the idea of this proposal that CAISO would have brought forward for the constitutional reform. We, however, would have put forward our constitutional reform, ideas and so on as well. But they came out clearly and said that they were going to reject their position. But my question is, you're saying you're rejecting it, but how are we going to balance what you have done in the past? How are we going to, treat with these issues that is coming out of the Montevideo Consensus Agreement, the Samora Agreement, and all these international funding agencies that is requiring governments, of not just in Trinidad and Tobago, but all governments who are party to these agreements that they have to fill certain requirements, and some of these requirements is allowing the LGBTQ rights movement in our country to advocate for for certain rights and for certain privileges and what have you.
So your thing is you don't want them to have any rights?
No, brother man, let me tell you something. Let us not mistake the facts here.
Okay.
I want every citizen in this country to have their rights. And these persons already enjoying their rights in Trinidad and Tobago. You tell me one lesbian or gay person in Trinidad and Tobago doesn't have rights. They have rights, equal opportunity before the courts. They have rights, equal opportunity in the workplace. We are working beside them. We are standing in line beside them.
No, well, some of them might say, well, they don't have rights. They can't get married in Trinidad and Tobago.
They can't get married. That is the problem we have. Why did Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed? Are we not living in a Christian-based society? Are we not basing our laws on some of these enshrined laws that we grew up with in the Bible and the Quran and so on and so forth? Are we not guided by these principles and these morals and these ethics?
Well, like I said, we see how the world is going. So you're saying that the government is slowly moving its way to support all that?
This is what we are seeing. This is what we are seeing. And that's why I'm cautioning and I'm saying, is this another smokescreen? Right? When, you know, we had the Bogri Law removed from all our books.
Right.
So, I mean, seeing that happening and you are rejecting the proposal for constitutional reform from these people, you understand, is what you're actually saying. We are confused. We are confused. Right now it's before the Privy Council. No, it's the Appeal Court, I understand.
Okay.
All right? And the Appeal Court is taking their time with it. Right? Because of the issue itself.
It's a very touchy subject.
So they have not ruled on it because there was an appeal. Right? The thing about it, what about the Samora Agreement? What about the policies, the school policies that we have right now, the cultural transformation policy that is being rolled out in the schools presently as we speak?
I remember sometime last year there was a book circulating that they wanted to put in the school curriculum.
Right. And we would have went into Ishmael Khan's and Sons and addressed that issue. Publicly we have done that.
And what became of that? Well,
the Ishmael Khan's and Sons, they still have the books in their stores. And very interestingly, they have it behind the counter.
Yeah.
So you have to go and probably ask for it. Yeah, it's not displayed for the general public to see. But my question is, as regards to these books, you know for a fact, is being used to groom young people into a particular sexual, scenario.
People,
is a crime in this country.
I know we want to
the
use the word.
Women is a crime in this country.
A lot of people like to use the word. No, listen to me. A lot of people like to use this word. We're inclusive. We're trying to be inclusive because it's not only books for children. Sometimes you're watching a movie. You're on Netflix watching a movie, right? Good movie. Probably with your girlfriend or your family or something. And bam! Just like that, you know, some situation comes up with a same-sex kind of thing. That happens in movies. You know, you're watching TV, there are ads right now on TV, you know. Were they all inclusive in the world? You know, what say you about that? Is that something you're against as well?
Of course, there's a lot of elements that are being included or introduced into our programming or movies, programming that we would have been accustomed with. With our children growing up and so on.
Even in cartoons.
For instance, the cartoons. Certain elements that have been introduced in these cartoons. There are certain movies, I understand, they're openly gay rights people, you know, advocating for, you know, same-sex marriages and all these things. And they are introducing these things in these movies and so on. The young people, impressionable young people looking at it. They're exploring these ideas. The internet is free for them to use and to browse, and they're doing this. We had an example in one of our schools. A teacher came out in front of the class and said, there are girls and there are boys, and of course there are those who identify themselves as furry. in a primary school.
In Trinidad?
So this teacher who did this, what she did was impressed upon the young people that there is another group of people who identify themselves as something different. These young people being impressionable as they are going to go on the internet and Google these things, all right? When they get the information, what are they going to do with the information? Are they going to explore more? Are they going to dwell in it more? What are they going to do? We have to be very careful what it is we expose our people to, especially our young children. And that's what we are saying. We need all hands on deck with regards to this, especially the religious community, right? The faith-based organization groups and the leaders in the country and so on.
So are other groups speaking out as much as your first wave movement, or you alone?
Yeah, there are others. We have the full support of the Christian community.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the full support of the Muslim community, even though you may not hear them as voices as we, but they are, holding programs and workshops and so on that is treating with the issue. We had a group from Barbados who came to Trinidad the other day. We have worked closely with them, Marcio Weeks, and they did a series of presentations throughout Trinidad and Tobago as regards to this issue of transgender and LGBTQ and what have you and so on. There was a book that was published by an author in Barbados that specifically spoke to the issue of gender issues and so on and so forth, ideally suited for the young children and so on. So there's a lot of initiatives that have been campaigns and so on that have been formulated throughout, but not enough is being done.
All right, so
the media has a great role to play. You people in the media has a very great role to play in this whole initiative. Remember, like I said in my press release, we have to remind ourselves the reasons why Sodom and Gomorrah, the two cities, were destroyed.
All right, so we invite, let's take some calls, man. 6-6-2-5-2-2-5-7. Maybe we have somebody from the LGBTQ community listening. Maybe we have people, of course, who support the government listening. Your government is supporting this all-inclusive initiative. What say you about that? And have a talk with Mr. Umar about the First Wave Movement. Hello. 6-2-5-2-2-5-7. 6-2-5-2-2-5-7. So our senior thing here, we say we caution the Prime Minister and the government that this rejection of the Kaiso's proposal, while necessary, is only a small part of the larger battle against the imposition of foreign values and ideologies. If this decision is merely a political maneuver designed to temporarily, get concerned citizens, then it will only serve to further erode the trust between the government and the people it is supposed to serve. Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Bass.
Yes, man.
And good afternoon to your guest. Bass, you know where my position stands on this. But I just listened and I wanted to be devil advocate here. I listened to him, he said that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because of the LGBTQ. Is it that alone it was destroyed for? It's our daughter and a whole host of other things. You see, we cannot be convenient to nitpick certain things. That's one. Two, my second question. How do you treat with persons who are in the Muslim community who are of this group? Because there are persons from the Muslim community who are part of this group, and you cannot deny that. That is a fact, that there are persons who are part of the Muslim group where this is sent to.
Who, there are people in Muslims who are LGBTQ?
Yes, they are in the group, and I challenge Mr. Umar to tell me I'm not talking facts here.
All right, okay, thank you, my friend.
I challenge him to tell me that what I'm saying here is not factual.
All right, that's what do you say, Mr. Umar?
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, are you listening?
Yeah, so the issue as regards to Muslims who are involved in this activity and so on, what we do, just like everything else, we try to treat with it with education. All right, we make our intervention, but it's not a violent intervention. It's not an intervention that that people may think that we are cruel and harsh towards these individuals. We understand the society that we live in, and we also understand circumstances, the environment in which people grew up. They may not possibly necessarily would have had the opportunity to grow up in a society or in an environment that would have, you know, pushed them away from this type of, you know, leaning and so on. And we understand these things, and that is why careful analysis and a careful approach to these matters in speaking with these persons, understanding, you know, why they would have adopted this particular lifestyle and so on, is very important, so that we could also treat with it in our education program and the way we develop our general programming and so on as regards to this particular issue. Hopefully, you know, at the end of the day, it's all in the hands of Almighty God, and we can only do what is humanly possible to do, and that is to do the right thing, teach people, educate people in the right way. Let us not formulate programs or put people in situations where they would start questioning themselves and start questioning life as it is.
All right, we're talking to Mr. Omar Abdullah, the founder and leader of the First Wave Movement. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Bass.
Yes, sir.
Princess Tong.
Hmm. Go ahead, Princess Tong, with your question. Go ahead, sir. Princess Tong. Does it sound like a girl was... Oh, no, no, it's, I turned him off. Sorry. Yeah, Princess, sorry. Yeah, 625-2257. Mr. Omar Abdullah of the First Wave Movement here. So the First Wave Movement will continue to monitor the situation closely, and we stand by ready to hold the government accountable for its actions. We urge all citizens to remain vigilant and to join us in the fight to protect our nation from these insidious threats. Yeah, hello, hello. Sorry about that.
Good day.
Yeah, good day. Yeah, man.
Yeah, please. I fully agree with what the minister said in terms of them. The group always had rights. What rights they want is rights to marry and push this thing down with your intro. See, that I not on that. Watch me. I tell you, Sally, call me old fashioned, call me whatever. You're going on. All your rights. You see, push it down with your intro and all you're going through that with other things until it would just. All right. Don't do that. You see, that. I fully agree with Mr. Weather. Only do all the thing, but do, you know.
Yeah, but if they get married, how would that pushing it down your children's throat?
Let me tell you what. This society, if all them married, go outside and get married. Let me leave it so base. Let me leave it so it base. Let me tell you something. Eh? The agenda fulfilling, if you've not seen it yet, I know you're on the radio, you have to know what to say. But I tell you personally, just now, I'm telling you, I always think of this energy. You, if you have a daughter or a niece, and she need bathroom because everything just coming, eh? Everything coming. She need bathroom and I'm like, oh, look up for dinner or something. And like she about 13 or 14. No, so mature, and she going to bathroom. And then you call her watching this couple of cross. I know it's a transgender couple. And as she walking bathroom, this big hard back man walking bathroom with this child. What are you going and do? You been feeling comfortable? No, there's a man, no? It's a man. I don't tell you, people joke, and they, me and the Maxi and me and one of them follow. And bam. When I take him, if you hear voice, hey, the man, only that voice going out, and the man only want, why run? Because trust me, he began strong, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Any other better, later.
All right. Yeah, boy, people supporting you, we'll see, we're trying to get, you know, a call against, must have somebody from the LGBTQ community out there listening. Talking to Mr. Omar Abdullah, First Wave Movement. Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Bass.
You from the LGBTQ community?
No, sir.
Okay.
Princess Tong here.
Princess Tong, yeah, man.
Yes, I want to thank the brother there for coming.
Princess Tong, your phone giving real trouble in Princess Tong, buddy.
Hello?
Yeah, your phone giving trouble. Stay one place.
You hear me now?
Yeah.
Did I hear him say that the UNC or partnership in government signed some agreement to pro-LGBTQ or whatever it is? If that is so, I want to find out when that was done, if you could give us the date and so on, because as far as I'm aware, I've never heard of any consultations or discussions within the party circles, et cetera, et cetera. So, what time of the day or night they went and signed?
Well, he did say that they do it in the midst of the night. But you said the UNC government, when they were in power, they also signed on to this agreement as well, sir. Mr. Omar?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The UNC government, they also signed on to this agreement.
Yeah, that was the Montevideo Consensus Agreement.
Uh-huh.
In 2013, the UNC would have signed off on that agreement.
Now, what that agreement says?
This government is pursuing and continuing to support that signing instrument.
Now, what exactly is that agreement about, if you mind repeating to us?
Well, the Samora Agreement is an agreement that involves a number of Caribbean countries, South America and Caribbean countries.
Right.
They have asked them to sign this agreement to implement certain measures to allow for the inclusive agenda that you hear the Minister of Education continue to speak about. And they have formed a group, a monitoring group, which actually they had a website. Since we started campaigning about the Montevideo Consensus Agreement, we saw that they would have pulled down the website because we continue to make reference to it and ask people to go and look at it themselves and to see how this reporting is taking place. And when we saw the Minister of Education came out clearly and stated that there is no comprehensive education within our schools, and there is no issue regarding LGBTQ in the agenda inclusion in the schools and so on and so forth. We called her up on it because we know for a fact, as it was told to us by one of the executives within the Ministry of Education, every so often there are documents that come from these people, the Montevideo Consensus Agreement, and it crosses his desk, right? But he is not in that particular department, so he does not actually, look into it or ask, what it is all about.
So basically, governments go. I mean, they had updates where the world going and they had to play ball. They can't be like they did in Africa.
This is the problem that we're having. Governments playing ball is what is going to happen is that the sovereignty of our country is going to be affected.
Right.
We no longer are going to be making decisions for ourselves. We'll be making decisions based on what these world leaders and these globalist leaders want us to do. You understand?
But yet still we want to get rid of the
two ships. What I'm saying is that as a sovereign country, we have a right to decide for our own.
All right,
why the government has not come to us and say, look, we have an agreement to sign, or we are invited to sign this particular agreement. Let's hear what the public has to say about this. Don't do that?
All right, let's take
you'll
a call.
You'll hear the outcry and the fallout after.
Yeah, nice. Let's take a call. Yes, sir. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, please.
Yeah.
Every vehicle in this world, there's an exhaust and there's an intake.
Okay. Yeah, but in 9 minutes after 2 o'clock, we're talking to Mr. Omar Abdullah, the First Wave Movement. So what are some of the other, that's what I think this call. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Who the guy speaking there?
Mr. Omar Abdullah of the First Wave Movement.
Oh, that is a political party?
Is the First Wave Movement a political party, sir?
Right.
No, it's not.
We are an activist group.
Activist group.
All right. My name is Tom Morales here. Contested by election up in the Moruga Tableland in New Saint Mary's in 2021 and 2023. All right. So, hello, happened, right? Listening to it, there's something like... Hello.
All right, let's come now, man.
Your song, you like Gypsy, there.
Song like Gypsy.
But, you delivered the removal of the boats on the and replacement of the.
But you ain't talking about that. Where you coming from with that? We're not talking about removal of no boats.
Well, let me hear
topic. Oh, no, God, come now, man. Just call the radio just so you know what's going on. Just call on the radio sake. Listen to what it is going on the radio before you call. What kind of nonsense is that? Look, morale is better than that, man. Yeah, big man in the thing. You just call. I want to talk. That is not what we're speaking about. I'm speaking to. And of course, what are some of the other things that the First Wave Movement is going after or dealing with as an activist group?
Well, we're dealing
very, very sternly with the education policies.
Mm-hmm.
All right, as that directly affects our young children. We're also dealing with issues as regards to healthcare in this country.
Mm.
And as we would have seen, there was a great disappointment coming out of the Ministry of Health during the COVID, and also leading up to this situation that we have now, where we're hearing that's monkeypox and dengue and so on. We have highlighted, very, very strongly in the public domain the lack of the ministry itself, the health ministry itself, in looking after their very own. We've had reports coming out of the Port of Spain General Hospital, mosquito infestation. They would have broken down the old building and they would have used water to settle the dust. And that water was the runoff of that water was not managed properly. It has gone and settled in certain areas. And now there's an infestation of mosquitoes in the Port of Spain General Hospital. We know that for a fact. Staff has spoken to us. They would have shut down the operating theater very recently at some point in time. Security officers, you would see them often time, using the fly spray to manage the amount of mosquitoes that is affecting the hospital and so on. We've also saw very recently Philip Alexander highlighting an issue at one of the ministry's headquarters where there was an infestation of African snails. Where I live in the Charleville area, there is a vast population of the African skin snails, and no one is paying attention to that. So how can you boast about a health ministry and boast about this multi-million dollar building that you've put up around the savannah, and nothing works right in your system? Nothing works right.
Mm-hmm.
So we are taking issues with a number of and a number of issues.
Yeah.
We have the issue of those who were taking the COVID injections, a number of injuries occurring as a result of those, a number of deaths. The government refused to acknowledge these. We have provided evidence and we have provided all documentation regarding persons reporting these instances to the Commissioner of Police, and asked the Commissioner of Police to investigate the Prime Minister and the Minister of Health with regards to these deaths and these injuries.
Right.
That file is still on the Commissioner's desk.
Mm.
There's so many issues. There are work-related issues, industrial relation issues. We tackle all of those. Any problem you have, any issue you have.
But I would like you to tackle the issue of Port of Spain and what the Port of Spain mayor is doing. I don't know when last year walked through or took a drive through Port of Spain, but Port of Spain is filled with vagrants, and there's a building, abandoned building, 82 to 84, right? Queen Street in Port of Spain, abandoned there. There's a homeless guy like ripping it apart, drug addicts ripping it apart. There's going to be a drug den just now right in the city's capital. The state of our nation, of our city's capital, just on the brink of independence. I would like you to take up that fight, sir.
Yeah, there's a lot of eyesores that we have to deal with. There's a lot of, social issues that we have to tackle and treat with, economic issues, political issues. We have the issue of, the property tax, and this way or this attitude that the licensing officers and the police officers, they're sharing tickets left, right, and center to motorists, taking away their livelihood in some cases because of the merit points and so on. I have made the point before and I continue to make it. Trinidad and Tobago is one of the only countries in the world that seeks a revenue from the poor people in this country. Mm-hmm. You understand? It's the only country, one of the only countries in the world that seeks a revenue from the poor. I'll say it again. You understand? They seek a revenue from the poor. Right? And this is wrong. You have to take care of the poor. Not to seek a revenue from them, not to oppress them. And this is what is happening in this country. People are complaining.
about the property tax. Still, they're getting letters in their mail, and still they're looking at the the figures, and they're shocked. Mm. They never knew their property had a rental value of this amount.
Right,
so
sir.
I mean, where is the justice and the fairness in this country?
Mm.
Where is the justice and fairness? We know for a fact that it's only the poor people that you're going after the property tax. The businessmen and the property, the big business property owners and so on, they don't have to pay that. Not at this point in time, according to them. So why are you going after the poor people? Why don't you go after the rich? Why you don't do that?
Mm.
Why is the poor people have to pay every step of the way, everything we have to pay, be constantly paying for? When the finance minister came on television, he told the people, and you know, no matter how you twist it and you turn it, this is exactly what he said and what he meant. If you do not riot, I'm going to raise the price of gas again.
Well, you never really said that.
That's what he told the people in this
country. Right yet.
Right? This is the bullfaceness and the ridiculousness of our leaders in this country. And these people, they have huge buildings, right? Raking a lot of revenue from the government, the rental of these buildings. They have no shame. And we, the people of this country, are sitting, just taking all of this.
Well, we ain't right yet.
Constantly.
All right, well, Mr. First Wave Movement, Mr. Abdullah, I'm very thankful that you're there fighting for the plight of the people. I hope you get the support. And I wish you all the best, sir.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.